Bible, this is the book of Exodus tonight, the fourth chapter tonight of the book of Exodus. Been preaching out of the book of Exodus for several weeks now, and I like to do that when the Lord elects you. It don't always work out that way. It's been studied in some of these chapters here in Exodus, and the one good thing about preaching through a book like that is nobody can accuse you of picking out something just for them. Just to preach what is in that particular chapter, which nobody's done that anyway. Sometimes you can. Tyler said, it ain't my fault. Maybe these new ones here, check and see if are they off, all the new ones? Okay. This one's off now. Did you turn it off? Okay. Turn this one off. Is that one off? It's still on. Turn this one off. There you go. Now turn this one back on.
You got
45
back there, you're
shooting. Okay. Turn this one off. All right. Now we just got any babies in. All right, let's look there in the Exodus chapter 4 tonight. And let's begin reading verse 19. Exodus 4, verse 19. The Bible said, "The Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go return unto Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass. And he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return unto Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart that he shall not let the people go. Thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel, my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, Let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And it came to pass by the way in the end that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. And then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son, and cast it at his feet, and said, Surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go, and then she asked, then she said, A bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. And the Lord said to Aaron, Go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him, and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their afflictions, then they bowed their heads and worshipped." You can be seated. Father, we do thank you tonight, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, again, to stand and to preach the Word of God, Lord, tonight. And, Lord, we just pray tonight, we're at a little disadvantage tonight, Lord, but we pray that, Lord, what we lack in physical things, that you'll make up in spiritual things, which are much better and more lasting and more eternal. Lord, and so we pray for that tonight. Lord, please help me tonight. What I've studied, Lord, and prayed over has fed my soul. And, Lord, these folks are saved. Lord, many of them, if not all, Lord. And Lord, what feeds me ought to feed them. And I pray you'll give us spiritual food tonight from heaven. And, Lord, open up the Word of God that we can leave tonight and say that we maybe have saw something, remembered something, or learned something from the Word of God tonight. Lord, have your way in the service. You know what your Word is being sent to accomplish tonight. And I pray that it would be so, Lord. I pray even tonight. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and my failures, shortcomings, Lord, my weaknesses. And ask your help tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not, if I had a text tonight, I would just use the text that's in the Schofield Bible up above where I began to read, which simply says the return of Moses to Egypt. Now, this is the fourth time that God's told him to go, at least four, maybe five, that God has told Moses to go. And even though he has submitted to go, even though God has answered all of his arguments and he has finally submitted to go, he's slow about going. He's kind of procrastinating. He's reluctant to get started. Now we know why some of that is because of what God said in verse 19. By the way, the Lord knew what it was too. You know the Lord knows what it is that's holding us up. You see in verse 19, the Lord said once again, he said, go return unto Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And he knew that one of the things that was keeping Moses from just getting right with it was that no doubt he was thinking about when he left, they were seeking his life and they wanted to kill him. And God says that those men are all dead. You've been gone for 40 years. There's another Pharaoh. All those men are dead. They're no longer living. Nobody's seeking your life now. We realize tonight that there's things sometimes that hold us up. But if God has told us to go, he's already took care of those things. We might say that the statute of limitations has run out. He said, Moses, you can go on back now. There ain't nobody going to bother you.
Amen.
So we see that, and then we see here in verse 20, we see the Bible said that Moses took his wife and his sons, and he set them on an ass and returned into the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And so we see that Moses has procrastinated some. And then we see that when he gets started, he gets some things together. He gets some possessions together, namely his wife and his sons. Now, that sets the order of the way it ought to be.
Man.
You see, Moses is getting his wife and his sons, and he's getting them ready to go to where God wants him to go, to where God has sent him. It's a shame that in a lot of situations that it's the wife that's getting everything ready on Sunday morning. It's the wife that has to get the kids ready and the clothes ready, and the husband is dragging behind or sometimes won't go at all. That's not the order that God said. The man is to be the priest of the home. He ought to be the first one up telling everybody else to get ready. He ought to be the first one up saying, we're going to the house of God today.
Amen.
And I tell you, don't mean none of this business of saying we're going to get up and we're else going to be pretty today. We're going to do something else and we'll go to church when it's raining. No, every day's the Lord's day. Amen. God ought to have preeminence on the Lord's day, and every day the Lord ought to have preeminence. Well, we see here that Moses is about ready to go. But if you'll back up into verse 18, the Bible said, and Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, let me go. Well, God's done told him to go. But he's going back to his father-in-law, and he's saying, let me go. Well, that shows us a little bit of the character that Moses had. You say, why? Well, Jethro had fed him for the last 40 years. He'd give him one of his daughters to marry. He'd give him a flock to tend. No doubt he had added a lot to the life of Moses. And Moses, just showing Christian character, he went back and he said, Jethro, God's called me to do this and I need to go. I'll tell you what that's like tonight. That's like as a Christian, You ought to just up and quit a job without any notice, without telling anybody you're going to quit. If they treated you right and been good to you, and let you work for them for a while, the Christian thing to do would be give them a few days of notice, a few weeks of notice. That'd be the Christian thing to do. That's what Moses is doing here. He's just trying to do what's right. Jethro's been good to him. So he just wanted to go to him. He's not really saying, I'm not going to go if you don't let me go, because he done told God he was going. But what he's doing is just doing the Christian thing. Now, I want to see some things here tonight. They're all right here in the chapter. And I like this preaching verse by verse and preaching the Bible. By the way, that's what you're supposed to preach anyway.
Amen.
And I found out if you'll preach the Bible, if you'll just preach God's Word, the meal barrel never runs dry.
That's right.
There's always another handful for the next meal.
Amen.
I remember years ago, a young preacher in our church came to me and took a church. When he took it, they only had one service a week, but he hadn't had it long, and they were going to go to three services a week. And he come to me, and I wasn't that old myself then, and he said, I've got to start preaching three times a week. And he said, I don't know how in the world I'm going to do it. I said, you keep reading that book, and you keep praying. And I said, if you'll keep reading the book and praying, the barrel will never run dry. God will always have one more for you in there. Amen. It may not be what you want to preach or what they want to hear, but there'll be one more in there, thank God.
Amen.
So we see Moses now, he's fixing to go. And in verse 22 and 23, the Bible said, thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Now, what we have here is the preaching of Moses. This is what Moses is going to be preaching when he gets down there. This is what Moses is going to tell him when he gets down there. First of all, we see there that it is a message involving my son. The Bible said, Israel, my son, even my firstborn. When he got down there, he was going to be talking about God's son Israel, about their firstborn. Now, over in the New Testament, you know what our message is, what we're supposed to be preaching about. It's God's son. God's only begotten son. Amen. There's been one like him. And we're to preach Christ and Him crucified tonight and lift Him up and preach Him and exalt Him and tell about Him and brag on Him. That's what we're supposed to do, is preach Jesus. That's the Bible said He got down there and He was supposed to preach a message about God's Son. And then the Bible says this. Saul learned the text. He says in verse 23, he said, when you get down there, he said, you're going to talk about my son. And he said, then you're going to tell him to let him go. To let him go. Let him come out of bondage.
Hey.
Let him come out of Egypt.
Hey.
Well, that's what our message is.
Right.
We're preaching about God's son. And we're telling you that you don't have to be in bondage. You don't have to stay in sin. You don't have to be a slave to sin. You can come out of it. God will bring you out of it.
Yeah.
I want to say this. When God brings you out of it, when God brought them out of Egypt, God brought them out to serve.
Amen.
It's right there in the text. Look at it. He said, let my son go that he may serve me. Serve me. God didn't just save us to keep us from burning in the flames of hell. God didn't just save us so that we're not going to hell and we can just come and sit down and just wait for the Lord to come. No. God saved us, Brother Eddie, that we might serve Him. That we might live for Him, serve Him, tell others about Him. Do whatever He wants us to do. That's what God saved us for. Amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you, so many in the church world today that God saved them, God's brought them out. But they won't serve God. And I tell you, it causes a problem today in the house of God and among God's people.
Amen.
Then let me say this tonight. Not only was there they to serve Him, but the Bible says there, bring out my son, preach my son. And He says, when you do that, He said, here's what the source is going to be. Look there in the Bible. And he said, when you get down there, verse 22, he said, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Moses wasn't going down there and saying, this is what I say.
Right.
This is what I say, do. But God said, when you get down there, you tell them, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I just say, that's what people don't understand sometimes. It was when you preach this book, it's not the preacher up there saying it. It's God's Word. It's God saying it. But it's the Lord. It says, thus saith the Lord. It makes a difference when the source is God. We ought to pay attention. We ought to listen to what the Lord has to say. Amen. But then I see this. You see, there in the last part of verse 23, he said, if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, thy firstborn. Now, we've had a message about the son. We preach a message about the son. The message is, let them go. Let them get out of sin. Bring them out of Egypt. Why? That they might serve me. Because God said it. Thus saith the Lord. The source is God. But he says, if you won't do it, he said, then tell him that I'll slay his son, his firstborn son.
Right.
You ever notice how God sometimes does judgments all through the Bible?
Right.
Sometimes with how you treat people, that's how God treats you.
Amen.
You see, Pharaoh wouldn't let him go. We talked about Moses being reluctant to go, and there were reasons for it. And not only was there the reason of Moses afraid those men are going to kill him, but in verse 21, God tells Moses, he said, when you go down there, do all those signs I showed you.
Right.
Well, what did God tell him to do? He said, well, throw your rod down and it'll become a serpent and pick it up.
Right.
What did God say to do? He said, put your hand in your breast and pull it out and it'll be leprosy. Well, brother, it's pretty hard. It would be for me to pick a snake up.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's got to be scary to put your hand in there and know when you bring it out it's going to be leprosy. I mean, it's not something you'd rush to do. And so Moses is reluctant tonight about going because God's asked him to do these things, and these things are not always easy. You know, it's not always easy to serve God.
Amen.
It's not always easy to serve God. And really, when you serve Him the way He wants you to serve Him, it's not really a thing of sitting back there and saying, do I want to sing or do I not want to sing? It's a thing of serving God. Amen.
Amen.
It's a thing of doing what you can do for the Lord. Doing what you've got ability to do for the Lord. Doing what God's called you to do for the Lord. He says here that He's going down there and He's going to preach, and He's reluctant about it for different reasons. He's a little reluctant about it. But He's going to go and He's going to preach and He's going to bring the message. And we're going to see that God will honor the message. But I want you to notice here in verse 24. It said it came to pass by the way in the end that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Wow. The Lord sought to kill him. Did we read that right? This man that God has called and on the backside of a desert, at a flaming bush, this man God has argued with for two chapters to go. And now we read that as he came to pass by the way, in other words, as he was in the way of going back to Egypt, as he was in the way of journeying, now it says the Lord thought sought to kill him.
Amen.
My goodness. That puts a fear in my heart. We need to preach some of this stuff. Because we're living in an age where, you know, it's kind of a Joel Osteen gospel. God loves everybody. God don't ever get mad. There's no such thing as sin. And you don't have to worry about the anger of God. You don't have to worry about the wrath of God. But I tell you, when you read the Bible and you read this stuff, you say, that's Old Testament. Let's go over to the New Testament. Now, what about when God smote Herod there and the Bible said he fell dead and worms came out of him?
Amen.
What about that? I mean, it ain't just in the Old Testament.
Amen.
It says Old Testament stuff. What about over in Acts 5 when Ananias and Sapphira went in and they lied about the offering and God
struck him dead. And the Bible said they carried him out. And his wife, being like most people's wives, she was late coming to church. And when she got there, she didn't know what had happened. And she come in, they said, "What have you given?" And she said, "Well, we give this." And she died. And they wound her up and they took her out.
Amen.
You say, what's the moral of that? Be on time for church. Yeah. Amen. You say, what's that all about? The Bible said in that next verse said that when that happened, boy, the fear of God came right for you.
Yeah.
Yep. When you think about it.
Yeah.
I went over to Cracker Barrel tonight and they said, "Y'all have a good service tonight?" And I said, "Yeah, God killed four." You think they'd be here next Sunday morning? Probably not, amen.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, the ones that did come would have the fear of God in them.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, if somebody asked them what to give, they wouldn't be fudging on it.
Amen.
Amen. You see, the object is that God was wanting to make a believer out of that early church. They're just getting started, and he don't want them to get started on the wrong foot.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So Moses runs into a problem here. Well, you never do anything for God, you don't run into a problem.
That's right.
Right. Right.
It's either caused by you or caused by somebody else or caused by the devil. It's not God, it's always some other source. But I will tell you something. You say, "I'm thinking about doing something for God." I just hope I don't have no trouble. Just forget it. Don't even get started.
Right.
You say, why? Because it's going to be trouble all the way. You say, why? Because there's a devil that's real.
Yeah.
Because there's demons out there. Because there's carnal Christians out there. Because there's a world out there. They don't know God, don't love God. There's going to be problems.
Right. Boy, amen.
Moses ain't got started good. He ain't got to where he's going. He done got such a problem that the Bible said that God, I mean, think about that. The Lord met him and sought to kill him. Sought to kill him.
Yeah.
I just want that to soak in a minute. We trifle with God and play around with God. And we just don't realize the God we serve.
Yeah.
Amen.
We just don't realize how powerful God is.
Amen. Amen.
You say, well, why would God kill a Christian? Maybe that he knows they ain't going to do nothing. So God said, well, we might as well take them on home.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
You know, like Israel. He talked about that fig tree and he said didn't bring no figs. He said dig around it and fertilize it. And give it a little time. But he said after a while, he said cut it down.
Right.
Cut it down. You know, if you wanted to live long, and the longer I live, the more I wonder why anybody would.
Bless you, brother.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Listen, you're saved and you know about heaven and you know about the things of God. Amen.
Amen.
But, I mean, if you could stay in health and reasonable health and have income and a place to stay, maybe so. But if it went like the course of the rest of the world,
yeah.
You see, long life in the Old Testament was a blessing.
Right.
In the Old Testament.
Right.
It was a blessing. I'll tell you, in our kind of a day, I don't know how much of a blessing it is.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, think about it. Stay here, go there.
Right.
Amen. Bible down here, be blessed up there.
Amen.
I mean, up there where there ain't no sickness or the hospital down here where it's full of it.
Right.
I mean, up there where it's eternal rest.
Woo!
And down here in nursing home where you can't get no rest even though they call it rest home.
Yeah.
Right.
You're right.
Amen.
I'm just preaching tonight.
Amen.
But see, God, the Lord met him and sought to kill him. God's going to kill Moses. Do you realize this is the most prominent person in the Old Testament?
Right. Right.
Do you realize there's nobody even compares with Moses?
Amen.
Do you realize that Moses represents the law and the prophets?
Yeah.
Is what Moses represents. You know, Moses didn't get to go over into the promised land.
Right.
Amen.
You know why?
Because Moses represents the law, and the law can't get you that.
That's right.
The law can't get you in the promised land. It'll take Joshua. That's the same as Jesus. It'll take Jesus to lead you into the promised land. All that the law can do is bring you up to it. But it can't take you in it. All that Jesus can take you on over into it.
Amen.
Praise
God.
Amen.
The law lets you see it.
Yeah.
But it can't get you in it.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says here that God was about to kill him. This prominent man, this man that I mean is, he's number one in the Old Testament. He's number one. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
But you see, it has to do with a covenant. If you look in Genesis chapter 17, God made a covenant with Abraham. Verse 9, God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee and their generations. And this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation. He that is born in the house or brought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. Amen. You realize that when God makes a covenant, it's a very serious thing.
Amen.
God made a covenant with Abraham, and God said this is to be the covenant with the Jewish people. And God says that all of these young men, all of them, when they're 8 days old, are to be circumcised. God said, if you bring in a Jew or a Gentile, if you bring in somebody that's not of your seed, the only way they can come in is if they also have this performed on them. And he said, if they don't do it, he said, they're cut off, he said. Can I tell you, you see, that stands in a way for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the only way that you can come in is you have to have that circumcision of the heart that the Bible talks about in the book of Colossians and Galatians. It talks about the circumcision of the heart. And you know what? If you don't have Jesus and you don't have that circumcision of the heart, you're cut off. You don't have no hope.
Amen.
Right. Moses knew all this.
Right.
He didn't do it.
Right.
Now, this is serious. Because, you see, this is God's chosen person. Out of all the people living on the planet, God has chosen this man to go down and lead these people out. And God is a covenant God, and there will be a covenant people. And right off the bat, this leader, this Moses, he's not even going to do the covenant
right
off the bat. Well, that's serious with God.
Amen.
Amen.
God said God's going to kill him. Now, do you know tonight the Bible teaches that God will chastise his children? Amen.
Right.
Amen. I've had God to chastise me, and I knew the Lord then. I've done something, and maybe it was questionable when I done it. I didn't pray enough about it. I didn't have the full leadership of God, and the whole thing turned out a disaster. And God, even though I prayed for God to help me out of it, even though I prayed for God to do something, the Lord let it linger on and on and on. And all time, the Spirit of God's whispering to me, and God said, this is chastised because you didn't obey me. You didn't do what I told you to do. I tell you, my friend, if you're a child of God, God's going to chastise you sometime.
Amen.
Amen.
If he does, he'll tell you he's doing it.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Now, not every time you get the sniffles or a cold or the flu means that God's chastising you.
Right.
You're living in a world where you're subject to that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you what, if you get the flu or some sickness or something, other thing in your life, and it's God, He'll let you know if you're a child of God.
Amen.
Your inner heart, your spirit, God will say, this is happening because that you didn't obey me. This is happening because you didn't do what you knew to do, and you didn't do it. That's why God says, I'm doing this. I'm trying to learn you something.
Amen.
Over in Hebrews 12, the Bible says, there in verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth.
Amen.
And scourgeth every son he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God deal with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh which directed us and it gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that he might be partakers of his holiness. No chastising for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Brother Gordon, people say, what's that mean, Brother Rick? That means when my daddy got the belt off, and he pulled it out and said, come here, boy. I'll tell you, when he was using that belt, I wasn't saying, give me some more, daddy. It feels good. Glory to God. Whip me again. Give me some more. I know it wasn't joyous.
Right.
I was weeping, crying.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, when I got to be a grown man,
amen.
I said, boy, I wish they had more of them.
That's Brother Rick. Amen.
Right.
Amen. It's, might have been in prison, might have been in jail. Who knows where I'd have been if I hadn't got what little I did get. I should have got a lot more.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
But you see, when God's whipping you, He's doing it for your good.
Amen.
Amen. He's not doing it for His good. God's not a child beater. No, God loves His children. And God won't beat His children to death for nothing. If God whips you, I've heard parents say, I tell you what, I almost beat him to death. I was afraid I was going to kill him. Maybe that's what God's doing here. Amen. God's upset with this great man Moses because he hadn't even done the first thing when they get started. He hadn't even kept that covenant that God gave him. God's so upset that God met him in the way.
Right.
God said, wait a minute. We can't go no farther on this deal.
Right.
I don't know what he done. The Bible didn't say, but the Bible said the Lord met him and sought to kill him, and he did something to him. You say, what did he do? I don't know, but he did something. You say, why? Because Moses, whatever God did, he sought to kill him, whatever he did. Moses, when God got done with him, he wasn't even able to do this circumcision on his own. We'll see here in a minute. God done something to him. I tell you, brother, God beats the daylights out of you and brings you near death. You'll be more ready to listen. You'll be more willing to obey God. Amen. I'll tell you one thing. I bet Moses didn't miss circumcising anymore.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, God's got a way of making a believer out of you. Now, why did God do this, Brother Eddie? Why did God do this to this great man of God? This man that God had called out of all the people on the earth, and God's ready to kill him. I'll tell you why God did it. Because God called this man, Exodus 3:4. Of all the people God could have called, He could have called a lot of other people, I guess. There's plenty of living at that time. But God picked Moses out.
Amen.
God said, Moses, Moses, I want you to be the one to lead my people out.
Amen.
See, God handpicked him.
That's right.
But you know, the Bible said in James 3:1, be not many masters, knowing they shall receive a greater condemnation.
Right.
You say, what's that mean? The higher position God has called you to, the more God expects out of you.
Right.
Amen.
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 Yes, sir.
To whom much is given, much is required. And God's called this man to lead a whole nation out. And God expects a lot more out of it than what is a sin here.
Amen.
God said, we got to get this fixed up before we go any farther. Amen. Amen.
Right.
So we see Moses' problem here. Quite a problem. Brother, when you get God after you,
yeah,
and God's seeking to kill you, you've got a real problem.
Amen.
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 So I don't know what God did to Moses, Brother Donald, but whatever he did, it may just scare the daylights out of him. I don't know. You know, you can be so scared that you're just weak as water and you can't hardly go. Amen. I was praying one time up the old building when Marla's oldest son, Jerry, was a kid here. And I was up there praying, and I like to sometimes close the door and just walk and pray sometimes. And I've been praying for a long time. I didn't know there was a soul in the building. And about that time, I just got that feeling, you know, like you get somebody's watching or something. And I opened my eyes, and that boy was standing right here. I about had a heart attack. I mean, I was so weak, I couldn't hardly get over to a chair. I'm scared the daylights out of me. Let me tell you something. When you meet God in the way, and God's angry, and you meet God, and you know it's an angry God, and you know He's about to kill you, I don't know. Maybe He's just weak as water, but whatever it was, He's so weak, He's so shocked, He's in such a shape that He can't even perform this thing by Himself. He's the one supposed to do it.
Amen.
What I want you to see here is His partner. Verse 25. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely, a bloody husband thou art to me. So he let him go. And then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. Now remember, Moses married Zipporah. And she's not raised like Moses is raised. She didn't have this Hebrew mama that was bringing her up at her on her knee and teaching them about this Hebrew God and tell her about this Hebrew God. And she didn't have the raising that what Moses had had. And he took this woman after he got over into Egypt, and she didn't have the same God. She didn't have the same teaching. She didn't have the same raising he had. And so what happened was, you see, she's not complimenting him here. She's not bragging on him. That's what she thinks she's doing. She said, you're a bloody husband to me.
Right.
And some commentaries say what that saying is, that you're a husband, it costs me too much. And she said, you're a bloody husband to me because of the circumcision. And some commentators say what that means is, she's saying your religion is a bloody religion.
Right.
You see, she don't understand about that Hebrew God, not yet.
Right.
You don't understand about circumcision.
Amen.
That's why the Bible in the New Testament tells you, we don't have any young people here tonight, but it goes for old people too. We got any old people here tonight, single, middle-aged, or whatever, it goes for all. The Bible says don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Amen. You say why? It's going to cause you some problems.
Well, right.
I've seen it over the years, and in rare cases, it might work out that somebody come to me and they'll say, Brother Rick, I want to marry this person. They're not a Christian, or they belong to some cult, or they belong to something else, but I'm going to change them.
No.
Almost every time, Brother Jerry, what changes is they change
Amen.
Them.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, I could count ten Baptists people I know now that married into Catholic families, and they didn't bring them to the Baptist church. They took them to the Catholic church and then took them out of church altogether.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
You see, Zipporah here, she, I'm not saying, well, we will say this, that she is submissive to her husband.
Right.
Because no doubt, he sees God's about to kill him, and I guess he hollers at her and tells her what's going on. And says, you don't have to do this. I can't do this. And she submits to her husband. She really saves his life.
Amen. Yeah.
I mean, God's about to kill him, and she steps in. does what's supposed to be done by Moses, and God don't tell him. The Bible says there, it says that when she stepped in and did that, said he let him go.
Amen.
He let him go.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's ever been any time our wives have saved their lives.
Amen.
I wonder.
Amen.
I mean, thank God for submissive wives.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, let me say this now before we get her up too high. She is submissive. She does save his life. But we got to remember now, she ain't been taught like he's been taught.
Right.
I mean, God knows how you've been taught. God knows where you come from. God knows that. God understands all that. He raised up in one of these little Christian homes and he had a good one, mom and dad, and thank God for it if you do. And you got to go off to a Christian school, and you got to go to Bible college, and all of that stuff. Wonderful, wonderful. I heard Joe Offa preaching one time. He said, some of you preachers got these little feminine women and said they're submissive and they're so sweet and they're so kind. He said, oh, I thank God for you. I'm proud for you. But he said, pray for the rest of us. Well, I'm saying tonight, listen. She was submissive.
Amen.
Amen. She's submissive. She saved her husband.
Yeah.
By her submissiveness to him. Can I tell you, ladies, I know we're living in this women's live age, and you've come a long way, baby. You need to go back.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You had it better back then you did here now. You say, why? Back then, you've got to stay home.
Yeah.
Now, most of you have to go to work.
Right.
You come a long way, baby. You want to go farther? I'll tell you, the best treatment a woman could ever get, they follow a Bible guideline.
Amen.
That's the best treatment that a woman could ever get. If the husband would do what he's supposed to do, and that wife would submit to that husband, amen. Boy, you can feel that when you start preaching that in our age.
Amen.
You say, wow, we've got too many bossy women.
Right.
Too many loud-mouthed women.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I said.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. We got too many women that want to wear the pants, and honey, they don't just want to, they do.
Right.
Ain't we preaching now?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Corner of that house top, brother.
Mike Jackson said he had a deacon in his church was so henpecked. So henpecked, he said he roosted on the foot of the bed at night. I can't stand a little old henpecked sissy man.
Yeah.
I can't stand a bossy woman either.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You say, well, we don't care what you stand. Yeah, well, I just want you to know.
Dang.
I just want you to know that tonight.
Hey.
Mace Jackson said every time he'd ask this deacon, he had 9 or 10 deacons, and they'd take turns driving him to where he was preaching so he wouldn't be so tired. And so he had one deacon there that every time he asked him, he'd always say the same thing. Well, let me pray about it.
Come on.
He said, one night he said, Bill said, can you drive me to the revival tonight? He said, I don't know, let me pray about it. He said, well, go ask Hazel and see. Wasn't no praying about it. Just had to get okay through that woman.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, I don't know why I'm off on all that. And all that. Good thing we had that appreciation thing last week. I got a year to work on it now. Maybe. We see her submission. But I want you to see her sharp tongue. In verse 26... in verse 25, she says, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. Verse 26, she says, so she let him go, and then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. You say what she's doing. She's being smart, man. She's not bragging on him. She's being smart mouthed to him. She's saying, you're the one got us into all this mess. But can I tell you that she's not the first smart mouthed woman ever been in the Bible?
Right. Amen.
And I'm talking about Christian people. You say, what do you mean? Well, you remember over there in 2 Samuel, turn over there when David's bringing the ark back, and David's he's married to Michal, and she was Saul's daughter. Yeah. And he's married to her, and they're bringing the ark back. Man, they're excited. This thing's been gone forever, and they're bringing the ark back.
Yeah. Right.
Boy, David's excited about it.
Right.
It says in verse 16, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw, this is his wife, and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well as to the women, as men, to everyone a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine, so all the people departed, every one to his house. Now watch this. And then David returned to bless his own household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of all the handmaidens of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovered himself. What's she done? She's ridiculed him. She's putting down her husband. Why? Because he got happy, because he's worshiping God, because he's praising God. And she's putting him down, and she's making fun of him.
Right.
Amen. Notice what David said. Verse 21. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord.
Right.
Amen.
He said, I was doing this before the Lord. I was doing this because God was in it.
Amen.
Because God was in it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Right.
I'm not to tell you another place too. Look over in Job.
Yeah.
Look over in Job, and I realize Job's wife's been through quite an ordeal. She's lost every kid she's got. They've lost her home. They've lost everything. Her husband's sick. I'm sure she's at the point of a nervous breakdown. I do realize that. But in chapter 2 and verse 9, it said, Then said his wife unto him, dost thou not still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. She said, Job, give God a cussing and just die. That's what she's saying. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In this did Job sin not with his lips.
Amen.
Amen.
Just two instances, three instances in the Bible.
Amen.
Where that they spoke out of place. Amen.
Right.
Billy Mitchell was preaching in a church one night. There was some Pentecostal ladies that was there in the service that night. And Brother Mitchell got to preaching on dispensations, and he got to preaching on the Old Testament, New Testament, things like that. And he got to explaining the tongues, the book of Acts and all that. And the more he preached, the madder those women got. Said, by the time he got through preaching, said two of them come up there and said, Brother Mitchell, I'll have you know, where we go to church, we practice all the Bible. He said, I bet you don't.
Yeah.
He said, what do you mean? He said, I bet you don't even practice 1 Corinthians 14:34. She said, I don't know. What's it say? He said, keep quiet in church.
Yeah.
What it says, amen.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is she had a sharp tongue.
Yeah.
And if you look over in Exodus 18, we find out, it don't tell us here, but it happened. In Exodus 18, it says, verse 2, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back. See, before he got down into Egypt, Moses sent her back. I'm sure God told him to. You say, why did God tell him to send him back? Why did he send her back to Egypt? And she stayed down there for a while. And She finally, she brings her back. Later on, she gets to come back. It's here. But why did he send her back? Because God knew she wasn't ready for the battle Moses was about to face. She wasn't ready for it. She showed that. She proved that. She proved that. You women understand this, that you can hold your husband back.
Right, right.
You understand that? God sent her back.
Amen.
He made her go back because she wasn't yet where Moses was, and she had to grow some before she could come back. She couldn't stand what Moses was going to have to go through. She just couldn't take it.
Amen.
Amen.
It's good when a husband and wife can grow together.
Yes, brother.
Right.
Amen. It's terrible when you got one saved and one lost. Either case, it's terrible.
Right.
It's a divided house, and I know people that live in that situation, they know it's terrible too, and it's not fun, and they understand that, and they know that. But what I want to say is, as long as he's up here and you're back here, or you're up here and he's back there, there's going to be some problems.
Amen.
There'll be some problems.
Amen.
Amen.
It takes both of them growing together. You know the number one problem with young preachers today that I see? Their wives won't support them.
Amen.
Their wives won't back them.
Right.
Amen.
And part of that's their fault because they won't be men.
Amen.
They won't take their place. And they won't be men. Oh, it's so quiet.
Amen.
Hey, be sure to get this CD, Linda. Run off a bunch so they get it.
Amen.
I'm just preaching the Bible.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm just saying what the book says. I thought y'all liked the book.
Yes.
Oh, you like it until it comes your way.
Amen.
You're just like the rest of that crowd.
Come on. Amen.
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 Amen. Lord Jesus, I might start a revival here tomorrow night.
Amen.
Amen.
Be good.
Well, she had to go back. Well, Moses had a rough time, didn't he? He was slow getting out of there. Then he had this run-in with God. And then his wife, she's aggravated at him. Talking him down, talking bad to him. But he finally got through it. And you'll get through it if you stay with God.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Might have to take a beating every now and then, a licking every now and then. There's going to be some squabbles and fusses along the way. But if you'll stay with God, you'll work it out. You'll get through it.
Amen.
You'll make it.
Amen.
What happened? Well, after God didn't kill him, after his wife saved his life, the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses, and he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. Kissed him. He said, what did he kiss him for? Man, I guess he's glad to see him. He thought he'd probably never see him again. He thought God was going to kill him.
Right. Yeah. Right. Amen.
When you have a bad car wreck, you ever see anybody had a bad car wreck or a near-death experience? And it changes their world. Boy, they come in hugging everybody. Oh, I love you. Yeah. You know what's going to happen.
Amen.
Probably what's going on with Moses here. Mm-hmm. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord. Can you imagine that story? Who had sent him and all the signs which he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the children of Israel. They're there now. They're down there in Egypt. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their afflictions, then they bowed their heads and worshipped.
Amen.
We see here the proclamation of Moses. You see what happened? He spake. Exodus 4 and 30, actually Aaron did. The Bible said Aaron spake all the words.
Amen.
Which the Lord said. That's what if a preacher ain't going to speak all that God tells him to speak, you don't need him. He ain't worth a dime.
Right. Amen.
If I thought for a minute I was scared of you and I was going to get mad at you and I was going to lose my job or throw me out, if I was scared for a minute, I'd quit tonight. You didn't hire me and you can't throw me out. God called me and I'll tell you, God will have a place for me to preach as long as I able to preach, God will have a place for me. Amen.
Amen.
We got so many little limp-wristed, scared to death pastors and preachers there, afraid to say anything. The church is going to hell in a handbasket. Sins everywhere. Nobody's saying anything about anything because they're scared they're going to lose their paycheck. I'd rather dig ditches than live a life like that.
Amen.
Hey.
Amen.
Bless you, Lord.
Faith.
Come on.
All the words which the Lord had told him.
Yeah.
Sometimes those preachers are guilty of saying some things the Lord didn't tell us. You say, I believe you're in that category tonight. We'll have to wait till we get to the judgment seat to find out, won't we? Because I don't think I did. You maybe thought I did, but we'll get up there and we'll find out.
Amen.
Amen.
Whole counsel. And
then he said, do them signs. And so they done that hand sign, pulled it out, leprosy. Put it back in, pulled it out, it's all right. Took that rod and throwed it down, it became some kind of a serpent. Got it by the tail, picked it up, it became a rod again. They said, God's with you.
Amen.
They said, God's with you.
Yeah.
How many believes that God will show when he's with a man of God?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir, God will.
Amen.
With Jesus. I promise you that God will let people know. They may not like you, but God will let them know you're a man of God or you're not a man of God. God will let them know one way or the other.
That's right.
And then the Bible said they saw, the people saw, and they saw that rod turn into a serpent and back to a rod. They saw that leprous hand, and then they saw it. It just like a baby's flesh, and they said, God's with you.
Amen.
You say, what happened? The Bible said the people believed.
Yes. Right.
Amen.
You know, I still believe folks would believe if anybody tell me anything to believe on.
That's right.
Believe on the Lord Jesus.
We live in this kind of a general thing where nobody wants to name sin. They just put everything in a big category. And you can't preach against homosexuality or lesbianism or drunkenness or drugs or lying or stealing. You can't preach about any of that. It's just all just under the name of sin, you know.
Great.
Not black and white. People don't get under conviction that you name their sin.
Right.
That woman at the well, she didn't have a bit of problem. He told her to go get her husband.
Right. Amen. Singled it up.
Amen.
Amen.
That rich young ruler, he's getting along pretty good. The Lord said, go take everything you got and give it to somebody else.
Right.
That's why we don't have a lot of conviction. We don't have a lot of hard preaching. We don't have a lot of straight-pointed preaching.
Right.
It points where people are living and it's wrong and they need to see it's wrong inside of God.
Amen.
That's what gets people under conviction.
Amen.
The Bible says when they heard this, they believed. And when they saw it, the Bible said they bowed their heads and they worshiped God.
Amen.
Did you know God's man doing what God wants him to do? That God will bless that.
He will.
Amen.
The Bible said that the people, when they saw it, they bowed their heads and they believed God. And there's going to be some problems down the road, but they sure had a good time that night, didn't they?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Moses is back down there in Egypt now. That's where you and I are.
Amen.
God brought us out just like he did him. God sent us back just like he did him.
Right.
But we're not going back down there to do what we did before we came out.
Right.
We're going back down there to preach, to witness, to testify, to pass out tracts.
Amen.
Amen.
To go back down there and tell them the truth of God.
Amen.
Claim the Word of God and the Gospel of God. To tell people what God says.
Yeah.
Amen.
We're going back down there not to be it, not to be of the world. We're in it, but we're not of it.
Amen. Right.
Right.
We're going back down there to let them know God's with us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Father, I thank you tonight for the good liberty tonight to preach. And Lord, we need preaching.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
I need preaching.
Yeah.
Lord, I just come tonight and I ask you tonight that we'd examine our hearts tonight.
Lord. Yeah,
Lord. Lord, I ask tonight that as Lord, as these words that I have preached tonight, as they went out, Lord, and people have heard them tonight, I pray the Holy Spirit of God has took them and made them see what they need to see tonight, Lord, I pray. God, maybe tonight there's some folks here tonight and they know they're not doing what God wants them to do. He's done warned them, spoke to them. He's told them plainly what He wants them to do. They're not doing it still. I pray tonight they might have caught that about the chastening hand of God. The chastening hand of God. Lord, tonight I pray the room is full of husbands and wives tonight, Lord. God, help the men to be what they are supposed to be, and then the women will have an easier time being what they're supposed to be. Lord, help all of us to fall into God's pattern. God's pattern for the husband. He's to submit to the Lord, to Christ. That's His head. To the woman, that she'd submit to her husband. That's her head. To the children, they'd submit to their mother and father. That's their authority, their head. Lord, our homes are in such a mess. Our churches are in a mess because the homes are in a mess. God, help us tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, we ask it all. Lord, if there's someone tonight, they're lost tonight, if they died this week, if they die tonight, they have no hope whatsoever. I pray the good word of God has put the fear of God in their heart, convicted them. You let them know heaven's real, hell's real. Christ is the answer. I pray they might come tonight. In Jesus' sweet and wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand tonight in the Lord, please. While we get this song, while we sing.
123.
Thank you.
was praising me, being in the house of God, begging for what I heard tonight. And I know that it's true. And I believe the foundation of God does stand sure. And I believe the Lord knows them that are His. I believe the world come against everything that's of God.
Amen.
I believe from the day me and my wife got married, I believe the devil, not only come against our marriage, but even to this day, still tries to divide. I think the Lord is the only one that can join two people together. And the Bible said what God has joined together, that not man put asunder. But I believe there's a war. And I do believe if there wasn't a war, my wife would be here midnight. I wish she was. I pray for her. Come remember me. I don't plan on compromising. I didn't go part of the way. I'm going all the way. One day, steps are turning to gold. Amen.
Amen.
Appreciate what I heard now. Good preaching the word of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. The foundation be destroyed. What shall the righteous do?
Right. It's working on it.
You know, in the Bible, I'm talking about in Genesis, the home, the foundation of the home is established before the church.
Right.
Right. We have the home in the book of in Genesis 2.
Right.
3, we have the home, the promise of the Messiah don't come till after they sin and all of that. So I was thinking about that the other day, and I thought about if the foundations be destroyed, and I thought about, boy, the homes are the foundations.
Right.
And they're certainly being destroyed.
Amen.
Right. Amen. The homes are being destroyed, one right after the other. And brother, you can't have a messed up home and have a right church.
Amen.
Can't do it. Stronger the homes, the stronger the churches.
Yeah.
Stronger the families, the stronger the churches.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else tonight? Anyone else tonight?
Amen.
I know the Lord's a better parent than I am a grandparent. And I'm going to work with her. And the seeds that we planted, I know that, with tears and prayers.
Bless her heart.
The Lord will do it what He sees fit in His time. And I just ask that y'all continue to pray for
us. Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. We certainly desire your prayers.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else tonight?
Brother Rick. I like to say it. Well, it's been good to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I love my Lord. I love Him with all my heart. I asked everyone to pray for me last week. I was too sick to go preach. And I feel when I do that, I let Him down.
Bless.
I know when I feel bad, I feel bad, but I just let Satan win a battle. If I'd done no more than went there and told them that I was too sick to preach, but I loved them, it'd be better than what I did.
Amen, brother. Yes, sir. Amen.
Pray for
them. Amen. All right, anybody else tonight?
Brother Rick, I just want to thank the Lord for the sermon tonight and all the sermons. I know that it's the true Word of God.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, the only real peace that we have is in Jesus. And it seems like when I'm at church or when I'm in my home, I feel the Lord. But that's about the only two places I like to be. Everything else is so wicked anymore.
Amen.
But I thank the Lord for this church that preaches the truth. And I thank the Lord that my boys was raised in this church.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Amen. All right, anybody else? Yes, Miss Sandy.
I would like to thank the Lord for saving my soul. And I'd like to ask the church to please remember me and my home. There's a lot of things that's come down the line that I'm allowed to do and I'm not allowed to do in religion now with the girls. And we had a meeting Saturday, and I kept quiet, and I listened, and I took to heart the things, and I prayed, and I asked God to help me. But I'm not compromised.
Amen.
The thing about it is, that's what my house was all about. That's what those little girls came to the house for. So
Lord,
I can teach them what little I know. You can put in a thimble, but I want to give them what I got because God gave it to me, and I want to give it to them. him. And I thank God for what he's given me. And I want to tell you something about a time and a place that the Lord saved my soul. And let me tell you about that time and a place. It was down the floorboard of a car where he reached down and
bless
he touched my heart and he saved my soul and he picked me up. And I want to tell you that he's been with me ever since that day that he saved my soul.
Yes.
Let me tell you about what the Lord's done for me. 6 years old, we lived on Guam, and I was sexually assaulted. We moved back to the United States. 11 years old, I was sexually assaulted. I was beginning to think there was something wrong with me, but I want you to know the Lord was with me. I could have been thrown in a ditch somewhere. I could have been killed. I could have been mutilated, but that didn't happen. God called to it. He took care of me. And then I thought, well, what in the world's wrong with this person? What in the world's wrong with me? Well, then I went on down through life, and then I met a man. He wasn't saved. I was saved. And that's exactly what the preacher told you about tonight, young people.
Amen.
You better listen, because it's the truth.
Amen.
You don't want to be unequally yoked with somebody that's not saved. Your life can be miserable. And then
you're
you
right.
have children in that marriage, and you love those children with all your heart, with all your life. And then those children may or may not get saved because you got one pulling the church and one pulling out church.
Right.
It's not an easy thing to live. For 38 years, it's not an easy thing to live. And then he ups and decides he wants to leave. So he leaves and leaves me without nothing. I didn't have much to start with, but God saw me through that too, I want you to know. He saw me through that divorce. He knew that I was brokenhearted. He knew that I couldn't hardly put my heart together. He knew that I couldn't hardly pick up one foot after the other. But God gave you the strength. God gave you the grace. And he helped me to stand. And I stand for the Lord today. I'm
Amen.
Not a very good servant. I'm not the servant I want to be. But praise God, I'm going to keep trying.
Hey.
I ask you to pray for me that I might be a better servant for the Lord, that you might see him in me, that I would decrease, but he would increase
Amen.
In my life, that I might be a servant for him, that I might be able to serve my church. I thank God for this church. I thank God for each and every member in it. I love you with all my heart. And I'm so grateful for the men of this church because they stand for the Word of God. They stand for the truth. And I look up to them because I have no man that I can look up to lead me and be the head of my home. Let me tell you what. The Lord is the head of my home. I look to Him. He's my husband. He keeps me. He loves me. He knows me. And let me tell you what. He knows me, he loves me anyway.
Yes.
What do you think about that? God loves me. What
yes.
I am, he doesn't care. He doesn't care on me, but he still loves me
yes.
as long as I try to serve him, as long as I try to do what he wants me to do.
Amen.
I just thank the Lord for what he's done for me. There's been many a time that I sat in that seat, and he wanted me to stand. And I just couldn't do it.
Bless
I thought, Lord, what do they think of you? I thought, Lord, what are they going to say about me? Lord, they think I'm some kind of little crazy
yeah.
fat woman standing up there trying to be seen and other people look at me. And then I thought, Lord, please just give it to me one more time. Just let me feel it one more time. And thank God, praise God, I felt it again. I thank you, Lord, for that. Help me, Lord, I'll do what you want. If you want me to fool for Christ's sake, and help me, Lord, I'll be a fool for Christ's sake. I just want to thank the Lord tonight. I want you to know how God can take you through anything. Young people, I don't know what you're going through in your life, but I know that you have to be going through awful things in this world, because this world is awful. It's worse than it was when I was a young kid. It's worse than what it is when all of us older people were living. We had it better than you've got it. Because we'd go out in the dirt, we'd go out in the sand pile, and we'd play. We didn't sit on our laurels and play this machine and all these games and all that stupid stuff. The mind gets
ourselves.
I thank God for this tonight. I thank you for saving my soul. I thank you for being with me down through my life. It's not been much of my life, hasn't it? But I hope to God that when I come to heaven, Lord, that you'll be able to say I have been faithful in a few things. Please, Lord, I hope I've been faithful in a few things because I love you, Lord. I want to serve you, Lord. Praise God.
I'm glad God blessed her like you.
Amen.
You say, I don't believe in women preachers. I don't either, but I believe in them testifying and talking.
Amen.
Real fast.
Yeah. If
you
want
to, that's well, doesn't testify. Yeah, they got had some results, too.
Amen.
Amen. That's good, Miss Sandy. You said some good stuff there.
Yeah,
right.
I really like what she said, you know, about she don't have a husband now. But you see, that chain's gone. That chain of command's gone. So she's went on up right to the head.
Yeah.
Next step. Amen. Amen. I'm glad for that. It's what we call having church. I know some people don't like it, and I can write down a list that long of places you can go. You won't have to worry about it.
I don't want to be there.
And this don't happen all the time, but we pray for it all the time.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Anybody else tonight? Oh, yes. Kyle, let you go first.
Amen.
I want to thank the Lord for what this church means to me and what my mom means to me.
Bless your heart. Bless you, Jesus.
Bless your heart. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Here's the way our world is. Here's how crazy it is. She's getting girls that have been through all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And nobody else has had much luck, you know, helping them, doing something with them.
Yeah.
She gets them in her home, brings them to the house of God, has devotion with them in her home, has prayer with them. Many of them get saved, and then they say, you can't do that.
Right.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? You know, that's like you can't give a kid a Bible in school, but as soon as they get it locked up, you can take one down there to it.
Yeah.
Get the Bible to the kid before he gets there. He won't get there if you get the Bible to him. It's in his hand, amen.
Shows you how wicked the world is.
Yes, sir. Amen. All right, anybody else? Yes, Mary, I'm sorry.
Brother, I'm also agree 100% what Kai is saying tonight. And what Jim is saying tonight. I mean, it's a battle, but you know what? God sees it through.
Oh, yeah.
I want to thank God for what
He's
done for me. Yeah. The church
means
a lot to me. Bless you. I love to get out, do what the Lord wants you to do.
Bless
you. I'm there on call every time when Max needs me. I'm there and I'm willing to get out and go do what she needs. Also, I just can't wait to my journey home.
Amen.
Because one day when I meet my journey home, I'm like, Sandy, God's my father now.
Amen.
Bless you, man. Everything that you've done, and you guys, tonight, I get, when I pray,
anybody else tonight? All right, now before you get halfway home, start criticizing preaching now. Just think about the results of it.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah.
Free to
God.
God bless you.